Welcome to the sermon podcast of South Hills Church in Costa Mesa. My name is Chris Kretzu, and I'm the campus pastor here. Thank you for carving out the time to listen to this today. I hope that you will be encouraged and challenged, and ultimately that you'll have a deeper sense of God's love for you. I'll be back after the message is over, but until then, I hope that you enjoy this episode.
Good morning, church. How's everyone doing? Good. Definitely some more energy in the service. Love it. Helps me out a little bit. If you do not know who I am, my name is Alec, and I am the student's pastor here at our Costa Mesa location. Wow. Kathy, you hear how loud they cheered for me? First off, I want to extend a special invitation and welcome to those of you who are new here, and also for those who are watching online. Now's a chance to get that second cup of coffee. But so glad you guys all joined us. Today, what we're going to be doing is wrapping up our series Christmas at South Hills today, because it is already the end of 2023, which is really crazy to be talking about. I'm still blown away off how fast that year came, but we will be wrapping it up today. And every weekend this month, what we've been doing is kind of looking at the Christmas story maybe a lot of us in this room are familiar with, and seeing potential threats that it causes in our lives, which sounds a bit weird when I say that out loud, because a lot of my experience with Christmas, especially growing up in children's ministry and youth ministry, is just kind of like the warm fuzzies of the holiday, of gifts from Santa and all those things like that, right? That's kind of what my memory of Christmas is. And as we were unpacking this idea of seeing threats in the Christmas story, kind of threw me aside, if I was being honest with you, but it was also really challenging at the same time to maybe look at the Christmas story in a different perspective. And today, we're going to be a little bit challenged by what we see in Scripture, and it's not this challenge to where you're going to feel guilty as if you let 2023 go by without, you know, stepping it up or doing things differently. That's not at all at the heart of what we're going to be doing today, but rather what I'm hoping to do through God's word is to challenge us for 2024 of maybe to also view the Christmas story and Jesus himself in a different manner. But before we do get into that, I do want to ask you all a question. Of course, in student ministry, we ask questions to make sure the students can focus for about 5 to 10 seconds. So I'm going to do that with you today. You could just raise your hand if you agree with this question. So have you ever experienced a version of something that you didn't enjoy? Just shoot your hand up. Okay, everybody. Wow, a lot of people is getting ready to preach your own sermon about that. Well, reason why I ask you that question is because in a moment, we're going to see two different people kind of have different experiences when it comes to the Christmas story and when it comes to Jesus. But I wanted to share a little bit about something in my life just so you can kind of feel as if you know me a little bit better. So if you've been around our campus for a while, I've had the chance to speak a couple of times and have shared that I enjoy running. I know I don't look like it, but I do enjoy running. But every time you guys laugh, it makes me feel bad about myself. I'm like, man, too truthful? But at one point, I hated running, okay? And it really came from this memory/trauma of my senior year of high school playing basketball. So we had this coach who was, I think, like 2 or 3 years new to our school's basketball program, and this guy wanted to take it up a notch. So with that, he was like a real aggressive guy. He would threaten us in ways that made us want to run faster, go home and cry, and see your therapist. This guy was pretty intense with the way that he coached us, and every single time we'd get ready for the basketball season, preseason, he had this month called Hell Month. And let me tell you, he used that word because it was real. It was not an exaggeration. He was not stretching the truth. It was terrible, because what we would do every single Tuesday and Thursday throughout that month is we would do like these crazy intense running drills. Some of them, you know, had us running up hills and sprinting. Some of those things, we had to run a mile under 6 minutes. And if everyone on the basketball program didn't do that, we have to run it again. Like just these crazy, outlandish drills that made us, of course, be ready for the basketball season, but really didn't make anyone enjoy running. Like no one showed up on Thursday that first week after Tuesday. It's like, I'm so ready to like just throw up mid-mile because if I don't run fast, I'm going to have to run again. Like, Noah was excited to do this, including myself. So when I ever heard someone say this statement, oh, running is so great. It's good for the mind, the body, the soul. And I'm like, you don't know my coach. Like, you have not had this experience that I had with running. So every time I heard someone say that, I thought they were crazy because of that experience. But in order for me to get to present day, when I enjoy running, my experience with running had to be different than when it was back from my senior year of high school. Is my experience with it had to change in order for me to view it differently to where today I love to run. If you follow me on my Instagram account, I'm sorry, but I post my run a lot. I post the mileage, it shows elevation. I love to trail run when you get to go out in somewhat of a forest in California, basically Irvine. But you're just going to run, and you're outdoors, and it's beautiful, and it's challenging at the same time. I did a half marathon, nothing impressive about it, but I did it, managed to cross the finish line. And all these things that I'm experiencing now with this sport, there was no way it would have been that way if my experience with it was what it was senior year of high school. And the reason why I share that, and to maybe get you thinking about similar stories and experiences in your life, is that that can also happen when it comes to the Christmas story. And in fact, it can happen when it comes to Jesus' birth. We have this opportunity every year to go one or two directions when it comes to this Christmas story. And the piece of scripture that we're going to be reading through today is going to help show you what those two things can be and ultimately how they impact your faith. So we are going to be in Matthew chapter 2, going through verses 8 through 18. So this is what it says in verse 8. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child." When it says he, it's talking about King Herod. "As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then it was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled, "A voice heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." So in this story, we see two groups of people who have a different experience when it comes to the Christmas story you and I are so familiar with. We have King Herod, who we discussed in one of the prior weeks in this series, so I'm not going to go too deeply into that. But we have King Herod, whose experience with Jesus is threatening, because what he heard from the Magi, from the prophecies, from a lot of people, was this idea that a king was going to be born. And obviously, a king hearing of a new king coming in means that his power, his kingdom, was either going to be changed or taken away from him. So when Herod thought about Jesus, that sweet 8 pound, 6 ounce, sweet baby Jesus. That's a reference from you guys. Yeah, I didn't watch the movie. I looked it up for reference because I'm a pastor, okay? Just wanted to make sure it's clear, all right? But when King Herod heard about this tiny sweet baby, he was threatened because his world was going to be changed. His life would no longer look the same as soon as this child was born and as it grew up and became the king that prophets talked about. His world was going to be shaken. And then we have the Magi, who when they hear about this king, they don't have the same reaction. It's quite the opposite. Instead of them being fearful, instead of them trying to send spies to see where this baby's at to eliminate baby Jesus, instead they go to worship him. And not only worship him, they bring him gifts, showing Jesus that they were welcoming him into their life as king. So the reason why I asked you about this, an experience in your life where you had a different experience that kind of made you not like that certain thing, is because I think it's very similar to the story that we have. Is we have two different people having different experiences with Jesus. One is kind of like the typical Christmas story that we hear about, where they go to worship him and they sing songs and they adore him. And the other is like, oh, that doesn't sound like somebody that I want to worship. It doesn't sound like somebody who I want to invite into my life. I'd rather want to reject and push this person away. And what can happen to us, I believe, in the Christmas season, and maybe for some of you in this room, if I'm being a little bit honest, who have been around church for a while, is we just kind of get stuck with baby sweet Jesus in the manger with the sheep around and his parents and the sweet stories and the little drummer boy, which really isn't biblically accurate, but hey, we'll go there for the season. But we get so used to that version of Jesus, is what can happen is sometimes our faith stays in that space where it's just this sweet, innocent baby who can't talk to us, who can't tell us what to do, who can't walk into our life to challenge us of how maybe we need to change some areas in our life. We love that baby because there's no way that he can do anything in our lives that's going to make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. See, and what happens with that idea when we just allow our faith to stay in the manger, and it's a sweet Christmassy, warm, fuzzy feelings, is that Jesus becomes a lot of things for us. Some of it looks like Jesus is just for Sundays. Jesus is for saying grace before a meal. Jesus is a character from those Bible stories. Jesus is who we sing pretty songs about. Jesus is a mystical fairy tale that I think about and get warm feelings. Baby Jesus doesn't ask me to do anything. But within that idea, there's a little bit of a challenge that if we just allow our faith to just stay there on the infant, if you and I get stuck in the infant, we'll miss out on the king. See, that's where King Herod's debacle was. Is he was there saying, oh, I don't like this because my life's going to change and I don't want to welcome this king into my life because that means nothing's going to look the same. So instead of being welcoming like the Magi were, he instead chose to reject and to the point where he wanted to get rid of Jesus entirely because he didn't want to be challenged at all. He didn't want his life to change. He wanted his life to look the same. And I fear that sometimes we have a similar temptation when it comes to the Christmas season, to the month of December, when we celebrate all the wonderful things that we enjoy about Christmas. I sometimes feel that maybe our faith looks very similar, or we just get stuck in this space where it's sweet and warm and fuzzies, but we don't actually experience Jesus the way he was intended to be experienced. Just like my running that I shared. Running can be experienced in so many different ways. But I can tell you the way I experienced it was probably not the most appropriate way, especially with the threats that were coming out of my coach's mouth. There were some things that I'm like, man, like I can call the police on this guy. This guy's scary, right? But because of that experience, it changed my whole outlook with running. But if I wanted to become a runner and hear what all these people's testimonies were about running half marathons and doing this and PRs and all these amazing things, my experience cannot be the same. Because now I would just hear that and say, you guys are crazy. You run 13.2 miles for like 2 hours plus? What's wrong with you? But my experience with it changed. So when I begin to hear people sharing their experiences and what they found from running and the joy that it brought them, it started to change for me where I'm like, okay, maybe I can change my perspective about this. So I started with a mile, and it was tough. I was running, and I remember like halfway through, I'm like, my lungs are on fire, and I feel like I'm going to throw up. And I made sure not to eat anything because I had an experience in high school with that as well. So I said, what is happening? So I finally got back home, and I turned off my watch, and I'm like, thank God that is over. Okay, that was terrible. But then I said, okay, I'm going to give it another shot. I know it was my first time running in I don't know how many years. Probably more ashamed to tell you exactly. But it's been a while, so let me try it again. So I did the same route, and I was slow, but I got through it, and my lungs burned a little less, and that urge to throw up wasn't quite there. So I said, okay, maybe what people were saying about running being something that's enjoyable is true. So I started to just add a little bit of mileage here and there when I felt I was okay with my previous mileage. And then all of a sudden I got to a place where I actually enjoy running now. I know some of you are hearing me and say, this pastor is crazy. That's probably a true in some aspect. But it became this thing that my experience with it had changed to where now I can enjoy it for what it was. And to be honest, for how I think it should be enjoyed and how it should be experienced. See, I think sometimes we just stay in that manger with our faith and our experience is only that. It's so difficult for us to really experience Jesus how he wanted us to. There's this writer in the book of Hebrews who expressed his frustration in this way. And this is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Basically, what this writer is saying is that if our faith is never allowed room to develop and to grow, we're going to be like children who are just hooked on milk. That the only thing they can stomach is milk. But from this verse, we can see that the whole point of faith, this whole point of walking through Christ, and of course the birth, but then when he grew up and said things and lived a certain way, we are also supposed to mature and develop in our faith so we can start to learn some of these things that Jesus said. Some of the ways he does challenge us becomes a little bit easier, just like when my mileage started to increase, and it was becoming easier for me to accomplish that. If we just stay stuck in the manger, our faith is never going to grow. Our relationship with Jesus is going to look like December, where it's just warm, fuzzy feelings, and there's no challenges, and there's no adjustments in our life. It's just going to look the same, and we're going to feel the same as we have a new year approaching very, very shortly. That we're going to want to see God move and God do amazing things in our lives and people around us. But if our faith is stuck on milk and not solid food, it's just going to be the same year. It's going to be just like 2023, whatever you were experiencing, whatever you were going through, the tough battles that you faced, and maybe like the ways you wanted God to show up. It might just be very similar because maybe our faith is just stuck in the manger. It's just stuck in this small, sweet baby Jesus. But when we look at scripture, we see this life that he lived, that where he grew up. And obviously when he grew up, he was able to talk, meaning that he could challenge people. And we see this in scripture where he said some really crazy things that people, it made people scratch their head when they were hearing it for the first time. He said things like, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, which is like, man, that doesn't sound fun. But which almost kind of makes us look at King Herod and say, you know what, I kind of get why he was offended by Jesus. Because here's this verse that I'm reading 2,000 years later, and Jesus is saying, I have to deny myself. I have to walk away from maybe the things that I want to do that are different from God's call in my life. Man, that does sound tough. That does sound threatening. And maybe now you're starting to get this picture where we can understand why the Christmas story is a little bit offensive to us. And it's a little threatening. Because with this beautiful story and all the things that we experience because of the Christmas season, there's also this other aspect where Jesus is announcing himself as king. And not just of our lives, but of the entire world. Jesus comes into this picture and he says, things are going to look differently. Yes, you can experience me for the first time and you can be, you know, on milk. We are learning how to follow me and all these things. But there comes a point where you're going to grow and you're going to learn and you're going to be challenged. And we see this happen over and over again. And not only do the authors in scripture talk about these ideas, but they're always having to remind people in the early church because they were going through the same struggles that we do today, that they have responsibilities. They have things they have to take care of. Some of them had jobs and they had to pay things. They had families. They have all the beautiful gifts that we get to have today, which sometimes can make it difficult to say, how do I balance this when I had this king trying to come into my life? And it's so drastic compared to what I'm experiencing in my city or in my culture or wherever I'm from. Jesus understands that it's just wrestling, and so do the authors. So what they would do is they would remind the people in the church, hey, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it may be to welcome this king into our life, here is the thing that he calls us to. Here are the things he calls us to do. Here is what life looks like following this king. I want to read this verse in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. This is what it says. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things had been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether by things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, if you read that, that doesn't sound like the sweet baby Jesus that maybe we're familiar with. That sounds like a king coming in with power and with authority. And what I believe this writer was doing was to help people see this bigger picture that Jesus brought in through his birth. That there's a way that people were doing life before Jesus was born. And as soon as he comes into the scene, everything is about to change. But not only does Jesus want us to change the way we live, our lives, but life in general, the way things function, Jesus came to put them upside down. And there's this great quote that I want to share with you that maybe helps put it in a perspective that we may be able to understand a little bit better. Well, this is N.T. Wright, who's an author and theologian. This is what he says. To use a musical illustration, Jesus is often seen as someone who can teach you to play the piano so that you can perform Mozart and Beethoven. But Jesus was more like someone who had just invented an entirely new instrument, had written some stunning music for it, and was now teaching people to play the new music on the new instrument. Jesus was announcing that the whole new world was being born, and he was teaching people how to live within that new world. See, when Jesus came, he brought a different way for us to do life. And it's hard for us to truly experience that when we never allow our faith to grow. When we just leave our faith and our trust in the Christmas story and in baby Jesus in the manger, it is so difficult for us to experience this because our faith is just left there, small, innocent, and not able to really do anything outside of that story. So at this point, you're probably saying, okay, Alec, I get it. You convinced me. Jesus is king. I got it. I understand it. What does that mean for me today? What does that mean for me in 2024? Well, I believe there are three different ways that we are called to live differently and challenges that we see Jesus ask of us. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 7, this is what it says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all the wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. So what we see here, I believe, are three different things that can help us kind of understand what does that look like for me today. The first is found in verses 12 through 14. And what we're being challenged with is how we're supposed to act towards others. One aspect is as soon as we welcome this king into our life and he changes everything about us from the inside out, we are called to act towards others in a different way. Meaning there was one way before Jesus that we used to act, we used to function, and that was life. But as soon as we welcome him in as king, it changes. It looks differently. And some of those things we saw, love, peace, forgiveness, some of those ideas that when this king comes into our life, he's going to change the way that we act. In verse 15, it shows this idea of how we're supposed to be experienced by others. It's not just our actions, but then now people can witness and see this change that maybe is happening on the inside of us that they knew we were one way different before we knew who God was, before we welcomed this king in. And as soon as he is a part of our lives, now we're different. There's something about you that's different than how you were a year ago or a couple of months ago, or whatever your faith journey looks like. There will be people around us who will be able to experience the change we are, and they'll begin to ask you questions, maybe even scratch your head and say, why are you living in this new way? Why are you living in this new manner? In verses 16 through 17, we see our last challenge, and it's how we're supposed to speak with others. And that's a very, very difficult one, if I'm being honest. Speaking to someone in a certain way all the time is very difficult, and we see that challenge, that the way that we not only act towards others or how we're experienced by others, but also how we speak with others, that our language changes, which I think is the most difficult, because what that means is that there's a rewiring of our brain, that God wants to come into our life and rewire the way we think, how we look, our outlook towards people and the world. That begins to change when we welcome in this king into our life. And we see that, and it's like, man, that doesn't sound that easy. No wonder why Herod wanted to reject Jesus, because that sounds difficult even for me to do, to start to do and live all these ways that we see in Scripture. But here's a beautiful image about being a Jesus follower, is that, yes, you are challenged. Yes, Jesus wants to come into your life and drastically change it. But at the same time, when we look back at that reference to N.T. Wright, what we see is Jesus teaching people. This image that he's teaching a new instrument and a new song. It's this idea that it's slow and gradual. It's not this force that comes in and says, all right, you said the prayer at church? Great. Now tithe, now serve, and never say a cuss word ever again in your life. And it's like, whoa, Jesus, let's start with the cussing first before I move on to all those others, right? We don't see that. We see this gentleness that kind of resembles baby Jesus in the manger when it says, hey, I'm going to teach you. I'm not going to force you or push you into it or stand above your shoulder and shake my head when you fail. It's this gradual change and this beautiful idea that Jesus is there walking with us through all the successes and all the failures when we try to live out the ways that we are challenged in Scripture. See, with my running life, it was the same thing. If you would have told me that, hey, you want to run now? Here's the half marathon. There's no way I would have been able to do it. I would have been like Michael Scott and ate, holding a pasta before the mile and then throw up, right? Crazy. But it was this gradual, okay, I'll try 1 mile. Okay, now we'll do two. Okay, we'll do three. And it just kept going until a place where I'm like, okay, I'm starting to understand this whole runner's high and all these things people have shared about me when it comes to running. But it wasn't immediate. It was this gradual learning, these small steps, where it became more and more real to me, to where I just love to do it. I could do like a 9 mile run. It's like a workout, and I'm not dying the next day. Before I was like, I need a week to recover. But now it's like this thing. I say, okay, I get it, and I find joy in it, and I find challenge, and it makes me healthier. See, it's the same thing when it comes to our faith. If we allow Jesus to come into our life and be king, he's not going to come in with this authority that's just going to mow us over. He's going to come in with authority and power, but he's going to be gradual with us. He's going to walk us through these things as he challenges us. He's going to be there when we're great, when we're at the, when we're at the Christmas dinner table and we wanted to say something because they had a different political view than us. It's like, nope, I'm supposed to act differently because now I'm a Christian and here's how it looks. Jesus is there when we're doing great in that area. And then when we fail, when it's like, man, I have to put this person straight, let me tell them how I feel about it. Jesus is also there with you saying, hey, you know what? Let's try it again. Or let's change the way you presented that. It's a slow, beautiful picture that when we welcome in this king, we see this change and these challenges that God wants us to be able to experience. Because if our experience with Jesus is just in the manger, you are definitely missing out on how he truly came to be experienced as this king, as this loving, forgiving king that wants to come into not only our lives, but the entire world and shake things up, teach us how to live this different life. So here's what I want to do, is I want to challenge each of us very simply. Like I said, I'm not going to say, okay, everybody now has to tithe 10% starting next Sunday. I'm not going to do anything like that. Some of you started sweating. I get it. It's okay. I'm not going to say, okay, now everyone turn in your Connect cards and everyone's going to volunteer next Sunday. Go talk to Kathy. I'm not going to start crazy. I'm going to start just like we see in Scripture, this teaching slow challenge. So here is what the challenge is for us in 2024. It's to schedule at least 10 minutes of solitude this week. During that time, ask God to prompt you with changes or goals that he wants you to prioritize in 2024 and write down what comes to mind. That's very easy. I know most of us in this room spend more than 10 minutes on our phones, on social media. We can at least carve out some time to do this. But I want to challenge you with this, to say, all right, God, maybe I do see you as baby Jesus. Maybe my faith is there in that milk area where I can't yet bring these bigger challenges and see life change. If that's you, that's okay. The challenge is the same for that individual and the person in this room that would call themselves a seasoned Christian. Who's like, yeah, I could do 2 hours of my time this week. It's the same thing, is that wherever you are at in your faith, or even if you don't have faith and you're trying to figure out what that looks like, the challenge is the same. It's just to spend some time this week and say, God, what does 2024 look like? Maybe some of you, it's taking that next step away from the manger and start to see Jesus as king. Maybe some of us in this room who have already done that, maybe it's a different aspect of our life that we know God has been calling us to change or to rewire, and we're just holding on to that thing. Wherever you are at in your walk, it's the same thing. And I truly believe that when we begin to see Jesus as king and we welcome him in, even if it hurts in the beginning and it's difficult and it's rough and it feels like we're wrestling with God, I truly believe if you and I decide to do that, we see December and Christmas and the manger for what it is, the peace, the beauty, the joy, and we can celebrate that. But if we move past that and see Jesus for who he truly came to be experienced, I really do believe that we can see some amazing changes in our life this next year. I really do see God coming in and changing a lot of things that we're going through, whatever you are in your faith. I really truly believe that if we start to take those steps, we allow God to challenge us in the ways he's going to challenge us, your faith will look drastically different. And we'll begin to say, you know what? I feel like I can move past wherever I'm at. That milk state onto solid food or solid food onto more. I feel that I can welcome this change and begin to see this growth in my life. So what I would love for us all to do is to accept this challenge. Try it this week and see what happens and what God calls for us to do in 2024. Let's pray.
Well, regardless of where you may be at in your faith journey, I believe that everyone has a next step that they can take. If you'd like more information about what it means to put your trust in Jesus, information about getting baptized, or maybe even attending a Discover class to grow more in your faith, you can visit us online at southhills.org/Costa Mesa, and then scroll down to the Next Steps section. If you'd like more information about tithing or supporting South Hills financially, you can visit southhills.org/giving. Thanks again for listening today, and I hope that I get to see you soon.